Gee, I feel super spiritual tonight coming to church on a Saturday night. I feel like I've gone to the new level spiritually because I'm here Saturday night, you know. So I'm normally a Sunday Christian. That's my thing. Actually, it's a sea change thing. I even lead it that way. you're super spiritual people. That's good. You could just pass me the water down there. How are we going? I love that song. I always have that picture. I come to the altar. Bowl, my youngest, who's 6 years old, he has different stages of worship that he gets into at different seasons of his life, you know, depending on what he's going through. He's six. So that song there was his song for a while. I come to the altar. And he used to go around our backyard with my phone and have it blaring and singing, "Oh, come to." And he would just walk around like with his eyes closed around the backyard singing this song. And every time I hear that song, I'm just reminded of that. He's gone on to some secular song now, but, you know, there was a season of his life where he was super spiritual. We're hoping for that to come back again soon. But I was happy about that because I'm convinced that, you know, the more we get God on the inside of us, the more we can expect God to come out of us. And so as he starts to sing and as he starts to capture the heart of God, and that's why we come tonight, because we want to get more of God in us so that more of God comes out of us. And there's something in us. And I believe that as we start this new series, it's not hard for me to dream. I dream. It's not hard for me to have visions either. See, visions are what happens during the day. Dreams are what happens at night. And I do both. And I think for most of us, I want us to go away thinking, you know what, I'm a dreamer, but I'm also a visionary. I'm not one or the other. One of the things that I do if I'm bored in the office is I go and hang out in our op shop. Because I'm a social person. And, you know, if I spend this week particularly, I was the only one in the office. You know, I'm the only one working this week, by the way, in the church. Oh, and Kim was too, actually. So not only did I come to church on Saturday, I was working while all you bludgers are out there holidaying. who's on holidays? Three of you. Andrew Hewitt, you're on extended holiday, aren't you, at the moment? But one of the things I like to do is I like to go into our shop and harass our customers. Because I like to talk to people, and there's one particular lady that I've been journeying with for probably 2 years, and she came in on Friday, so I was pretty excited because we'd sort of journeyed through a little bit. And I said to her, I said, "Oh, what are you thinking for this year?" Something like that. What's your hopes? What's your dreams for this year? And she looked at me with a blank face. She said, "Brooke, I got nothing. I got nothing." And she's not a Christian. We've journeyed a little bit around faith, and I've given her a few books to read and things like that. But I wouldn't call her a Christian at this point. She's not a follower of Jesus. But she just looked at me with a blank face, just this idea that I don't really have anything planned. And so we talked through that, and I was really sad. I thought, you know what? I think God has a plan for our life, and it's up to us to catch up with what he's doing rather than to create new plans. And I just wanted to share with her, you know, what God was doing potentially in her so that she could catch up and start to see something for the future. And so we started to talk a while, and I started to talk about, you know, she's quite creative. And I said to her, "Look, here's maybe some opportunities where you could get involved at Sea Change and just in some creative eyes," because I don't believe that necessarily you have to be a Christian to be involved in church. In fact, it's better if you're not. Christians aren't very good at church. No. But she wanted to volunteer, and she wanted, so there was something in her that was like, yeah, I want to make a difference. I want to do something with my life. I just haven't figured out what it is. So if you can help me do that, that'd be great. And so we talked a little bit about that. But I've heard that New Year's resolutions are a thing of the past. Have people heard that? New Year's resolutions. Who makes a New Year's resolution? No one. They are definitely a thing of the past based on the audience tonight. That's proof, yeah. I just did a quick survey. I don't do New Year's resolutions. Who does God resolutions every year. Who sits down with God and says, what are you up to? What's going on with you? Wouldn't it be good if we did that? Wouldn't it be good if we sat down at the start of every year and we asked God what he was doing and got on board with that rather than get God to get on board with what we're already doing? Because he's up to stuff. He's got plans. You know that? Are you excited about that? God's got plans. He's got things on his heart. What's weird about that? He's waiting for us to do it. And he's thinking about stuff and he's got things on his heart and in his mind and he's just waiting for Christians to spend some time with him to say, hey, here I am, send me. I've got no good ideas. Let's go have a drink. What's that? I don't think I've got any good ideas. Just so you know, none of my ideas come from me. I steal them all. Except the Misty Whipper one. When I got the... Who remembers the Whippy van? That was my idea. And that's why it didn't work. So if you weren't around when I was the youth pastor, you know, I come up with good ideas all the time, and one of them was the Mr. Whippy van, and we decided that we wanted to have a mission amongst young people in Kurnell. So what we decided to do is buy a Whippy van and go hand out ice creams as a stranger to little kids. I didn't see anything wrong with it. So we scaled it back a little bit and we ended up mainly serving it in high schools and with people, with, you know, and we had passes and things like that. And our own young people ate a lot of ice cream during that season. And hence Dave Standen. I mean, no. It's my fault. But I've done some really dumb things. But yeah, Dave, I love you. You know, you're my brother. But he had a lot of New Year's resolutions. He ran me up the sand, a side thing. He ran me up the sand hills because he was really into fitness at the time. And I used to follow him around thinking I was, but I wasn't really. I just like hanging out with people. Whatever they're doing, I do. And anyway, I was so sick, I decided never again would I have exercise. And anyway, side note, total side note. But God has a real heart and God has a real plan. And I just want to read from Acts chapter 2. Let's go back to the start of the early church, I suppose, and when the church came into being and what was going on there. And so let's read this. The Holy Spirit had come on Pentecost. It broke out in power. People were speaking in tongues. There was miracles happening. There's things. You can read this in Acts chapter 2. I want to read when Peter addresses the crowd. He says, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken to the prophet Joel. In the last day, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Everyone say, all. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and the glorious day of the Lord. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is a great day. What I love about this scripture in particular is that as the church starts and it gets going, everyone is included. It's not like it says, and this is an inclusive scripture. This is like we're all in on this. There's not one person here who can disqualify themselves from what God's about to do this year. Not one person here can say, you know what, I don't really hear God that way. I don't really walk with God that way. I don't really see God that way. He doesn't give me visions. He doesn't give me dreams. Well, I don't know. My scripture says that all people on every occasion, and he captures them all. He says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And he starts off and he says, the sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. What he's trying to say here is God is trying to pour out his vision for the planet on that time, in that occasion. And that's what he's trying to do right now. He's trying to pour out his spirit on us so that we get his vision and his plans and his purposes for what he wants to do on the planet for this year. And I'm going to get some stuff. And you're going to get some stuff. And you're going to get some stuff. And you're going to get some stuff. And together we'll get most of it. Isn't that exciting? No, you can't say, oh, you know, I'm not as spiritual as this person. You know, they hear God really well. Let's not disqualify ourselves from the prize. Let's not disqualify ourselves from the race. The thing I love about this, he takes this idea and he says, kind of, my sons and my daughters will prophesy. My young men and my old men and everyone in between. Even on my servants, the lowest in society, the highest in society, and everyone in between. Whether you've been a Christian a day or whether you've been a Christian 100 years, it doesn't matter. Every boy, every girl, every daughter, every son, every young man, every old man, even my servants, I will pour out my spirit. And I will show this is something for everybody. And God has a dream for his church. He has a dream for his church, yeah? Thanks, Kim. Kim gets it. He has a dream for your life. He has a dream for your family. He has a dream for your workplace. He has a dream for your world, whatever that looks like. He has a dream for your business. He has a dream for your house. I was talking to Shireen before, and she tells me that the reason she bought the house that they bought was because she had a dream. And God showed her something. And they were racing around trying to figure out and getting all frustrated and going to house, and some people know what this is like, and going to auctions and everything goes, you know, 100,000 over what they said it was going to go and all that kind of stuff. God says this is how it's going to happen, and that's how it's going to happen, right? God's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for my life. He's got a plan for our church. If he said it, then I'm okay with it. Let's follow it. Yeah? So what is God saying? I don't know. What is he saying to you? Maybe you should take some time and ask him. I'm not going to tell you. Amen. Isn't that the hardest bit? That's the hardest bit, getting it. The hardest bit is getting it. Once you got it, you can run with it. But sometimes you don't get all of it, and sometimes you only get bits of it. You know, and I remember the story, and I don't know, some of you might have heard the story of when we started our housing project, Platform 9, and God gave us a passion as we started Sea Change to have a place where we could see transformation, particularly that we would see people housed, that we'd see people clothed, and then we'd see people fed. They were the three things that we're really passionate about: feeding people, clothing people, housing people. And we had the clothes and we had the food, and the house thing was the last thing. And I really believe, and I thought, God, how am I going to do this? How are we going to house people? And we had Jacaranda Cottage, but it was something in my spirit that said God had something bigger for us as a church, that we could do something greater than, you know, we could put in a box. You know, we limit God by our own experience rather than by God's plans. And I remember just saying, oh, okay, God, I'm just going to put it out there. I went to the pub next door to Sea Change, and I asked the lady there. I said, hey, do you use the rooms upstairs? Because we often have homeless people coming into our shop, and I want to provide a place for them to be housed, and I don't want to just kind of say, no, we can't help you. I'd like to get to a point where we can say, yes, we can do something as a church, as a community. And she said, oh, no. She said, you know, we use those for offices. You know how pubs have accommodation upstairs? You know, you've stayed in some of those places, some of you, yeah. No, we don't have that place, you know, we use them for offices. And that was the end of the conversation. I thought, oh. You know, and a few times, you know, I had conversations with people and it was just nothing. And it never came to nothing. Literally 8 months later, she rings me and she says, Brooke, I want to have a chat. We've never had a chat before, so I was really scared. You know, I was like, could have been called into the principal's office, you know. Hey, I need to see you. And I'm like, oh, what have I done? You know, I thought, because I was a neighbor, I thought, what's the church done? Someone's done, smashed a window or something. Anyway, I went in there and she said, oh, Brooke, I just want to talk to you about something you mentioned 8 months ago, 6 months ago, whatever it was, that you don't know this, but we own a motel. Oh, I own a motel. I went, oh, that's great. She said, I want to give it to you so you can use it for your homeless project. See, I didn't need to pray about that. There are some things that happen where God's been talking about it, and I was just so like, I didn't know. I rang Brett. I thought, were you at that meeting, that first meeting? Yeah, I remember. Brett, she wants to see me. I don't know what it's about, so you better come just in case I'd stuff it up. And we get there and she offers me this motel and says, you know, I want you to use it. Now, she's not a Christian. But God tells her that she's got to help me because God's in it, not because it's my plan and my purpose. So God will use whoever there is around in order to fill his purposes. So that's just the start, you know what I mean? Like, imagine what God can do in your life. Imagine what God can do in my life. See, it's big and small. It's sitting down with God and saying, God, what do you want to do with my family? What's the plans for my kids this year? What's your hopes and dreams for them? You know, what do you want to, you know, and I sit down and go, God, what's my dreams for me? What do you see for my life and my spiritual walk? And then it goes out from there. What are your family, your relationships, the people in your life? How are you going to work with them? Maybe you're dissatisfied with things that are going on in your workplace. And you're like, God, what's your hopes and dreams for this? Because he wants to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. He wants to bring some of heaven onto earth in your workplace, in your home. And he wants to use you in order to do it. So what's my heart? I suppose I sat down at the end of the year and I was feeling pretty flat, to be honest. I was feeling like, oh, gee, I hate ministry. Can I say that here? Are we amongst friends? I know, Tammy will tell you this. It's not news to her. I say it every Monday. No, sorry. And I was really struggling because there's always, you know, God sometimes doesn't work as fast as I'd like him to. And, you know, and I get his heart and I see his heart and I see his vision and I see his plans and sometimes things don't work out the way you hoped or you dreamed. And I've got to manage that disappointment and manage that discouragement. But sometimes your discouragement and your disappointment can become the catalyst to actually see change happen in your life. They can be the thing that can motivate you in order to find an answer to what's going on. And so for me, that was very much the way. And I felt like the word that God was giving me was forget what's behind. Forget what's behind, Brooke. Forget what's behind. It's done. Forget what's behind. Because I'm not that reflective, but for some reason, I got into this weird reflective mode. And I started to think about where we're at and what's happening in the life of my family and my kids and my church and all this kind of stuff. And I was just like, oh, just feeling really down about it. And God was trying to lift up my eyes and he was trying to get me to look towards the future. And I just want to read a scripture for you from Philippians 3. And this is where he took me to kind of wrestle with this idea about, because sometimes, you know, God, the distance between where you see, you know, my God gives you a vision or a dream or a hope or a plan and you like see it out there and it's exciting when you get it, but then you've got your life and your reality, and the distance between your reality and your future and the tension between those two things can be hard work and can be frustrating. And so you've got to manage that time. You've got to pray through that time. You've got to resource that time and not give up. So Philippians 3 says, forget what is behind, I strain towards what's ahead. I press toward the goal. I press towards the goal. Verse 16, so I'm just taking a few bits that really stuck out to me as I, so just take it as it is. I was just spending time devotionally with this scripture and just sort of saying, God, forget what's behind. And then I went to here and then I was just sort of pulling things out. And then verse 16 says, so I was getting this idea, forget what's behind, forget what's, and this is my encouragement to you, I suppose tonight, is through my own journey, is that the thing is, I don't know what your failures or your mistakes are, or what your background was, or what your past was, or what yesterday was. What I'm saying is that God wants to speak to you now about what he's going to do tomorrow. Okay? So I want us to have a fresh starting point where we just go, we're all here, let's all move forward, let's not sort of... Because I think it's okay to look back and say, you know what, that was great, and or that was disappointing, and get, you know, I think that's okay. But the thing is, you can't allow your past to cripple your future. You can't allow your past to grab hold of your feet and tackle you so that you can't walk forward into your future. I love the verse where it says, don't let the devil get a foothold. Because that reminds me that the devil's at my feet. And so I can kick him off and I can start walking. But we can't allow him to tackle us. Okay? So forget what is behind, I strain towards. So let's forget, I press on. I press on. I persevere. I persevere with what I see. I persevere with what my plans are. I stick at it. Verse 16 says, let us live up to what we've already attained. I love that because what it says is God's not expecting any more out of us than what he's already given us. Isn't that a relief? God's not expecting any more out of us than what he's already given us. And so God's already put stuff in you and he's not expecting me to do anything else than bring out what he's put in me. I said at the start, let's get God in us so he can come out of us. God's, if you get more of God in you, there's an expectation that more of God will come out of you. And for me, God's saying, continue to bring out what's in you. And I say the same to you. Don't live someone else's life. Don't compare yourself to someone else. Don't grab, steal someone else's dreams. Take hold of what God's put in you and live it out. It goes on in verse 7, and join with others in following my example and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. So the people we should take note of are the people who are doing it. The people who have got the pattern right. The dreamers, the visionary, the faith-filled people. Not the doubters. Not the dream squashers. Not all those people that are trying to stop you. All the people that are trying to start you. All the people that are trying to mobilize you. All the people that are trying to spur you on to love and good deeds. They're the people that you need to hang out with and encourage you to what you're doing. It says, follow my example. Paul's saying, hey, this is me. This is how I lived it out. I went through the fire and I came out the other side. I'm still sticking to what God's called me to. And take note of these. And he goes on, verse 18, for as I've often told you before, now say it again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus. You know, I went out of this session with God feeling, you know what, I'm feeling a little bit better right now. Isn't God good? I love what Paul says, because sometimes I look at the world, and you know, I do get frustrated, and I do cry over the way people are living their lives. And he talks about that. He says, you know, follow my, he says, strain. He says, I'm straining on. I'm pressing on toward the goal. Live up to what's already in you. Join with others and follow their example. He says, don't fix your eyes on the doubters, the unbelievers, the dream squashers. He's saying, and then he goes on to talk about, don't look at the world in order to get your happiness. Don't look at the world in order to get your security. Don't look at the world in order to get your sense of value. Because we're looking, you know, we still do this all the time, you know. We're walking with God. God's given us a vision for whatever our lives are and our family. But we're constantly looking at people in the world thinking, you know what, why am I doing this? I'm the only one doing this. Everyone else is just living for the flesh and doing their own thing. And what all that does is take our eyes off what God's doing, puts our eyes on the world and cripples us. Let's cry over the world, but let's not follow them. He goes, their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. Paul also wrote, you know, you're aliens and strangers on the earth. You're different. You're set apart. Talks about the fact that we are saved, but we're also called. He says in 2 Timothy, says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. So he has saved us, yeah, but he's also set us apart for a different life. So the word holy actually means set apart. So you are saved by the blood of the Lamb. You are set free by the blood of the Lamb. You can live a righteous life because of what Christ has done on the cross, but you are also set apart for a holy life. You are called to a holy life. So not only has he saved you, so you can sit there and go, how good is that? God saved me. You can go, how good is that? He's calling out my name. He's given me dreams and all. I can live out what God's put in me. And that's what God wants to do for you. I just don't want a saved church. I want a called church. I don't want people just going around, I'm saved. That's also, I think when you're saved, you're motivated to be called. You're crying out to be called. There's nothing better in life to have your name called out. You know, remember when you were at school, you know, and everyone lines up and they're picking the teams, you know, and no one ever called my name. You know, but Ben got called first always for the basketball team, you know. Look what happened. But how exciting. And the thing is this, it's up to us to call each other out as well. Because sometimes, you know, we live a saved life, but we don't always believe we live a called life. And we don't always believe that God's calling our name. We don't always believe we have something to contribute or something to do or a life to be lived. And some of us, and that's why I love when it goes back to that scripture in Acts, where it talks about your sons and daughters will prophesy, young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Prophetic and the prophecy, is all that is doing is calling out what God is already doing. That's what the prophetic ministry is. It's seeing what God is seeing and communicating that to others. So when we call it out, all we're saying is, God, what are you doing right now? Get a prophetic word for your life. Get a prophetic word for other people's life in order to call out what God is doing. That's what we're called to do. I love what 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. You can't even get your eyes around it. You can't get your head around it. You can't get your ears around it. What God has got prepared for you. Is anyone excited? Three of you. That's awesome. Could be a long night. So when it comes to our dreams and our visions, and if I was to capture this in one sentence, our dreams, what God says to us, what God's doing in our life and all family, this is what it is. Our dreams is God's invitation to participate in the activity of God on the earth. I'll say that again. Our dreams is God's invitation to participate in the activity of God on the earth. God is wooing us. God is wooing us into his plans, into his purposes. He's given you a dream to woo you, to invite you to participate in his activity on the earth. That's why I said at the start, I have no good ideas. God's got all the ideas, and he's just inviting me in to participate on his activity on the earth. And he's inviting you. He's given you a workplace. He's given you a family. He's given you friends. He's given you a church. He's given you a ministry. He's given you a life group. And God's inviting you to ask him, what's my dream for this place? And for you to say yes and participate in his activity in that place. So will you do it? A couple of things. One, will you take a moment in the next week and ask God, what is he doing in those areas of your life? I'm not going to tell you what the areas, you know what they are, your family, your church, your friends. You take a time to ask God what he wants to do. God, I'm one of those all people. Pour out your spirit on all my flesh and show me what you're doing in this place right now. Give me dreams, give me visions, show me what it is. I forget what's behind. I step onto what's ahead. I don't focus on the people around me. I focus on what you're doing and I strain and I persevere and I go to what God's doing. So take time to do it. One of the things I notice is not everyone agrees with my visions. So there are doubters out there. God's going to tell you stuff and you're going to go share it with someone and they're going to go, are you crazy? But there'll be other people that will get around you. And just because you face opposition, I wanted to say this, just because you face opposition doesn't mean it's not from God. Just because there's a no or there's a wait or there's like, it's not going to happen, doesn't mean it's not from God. Don't stop at the first opposition, criticism, discouragement. What I love about this church is we've got some great dreamers here. Night dreamers and daydreamers. But we need everyone to be doing it. We need everyone to sit down with God and say, God, what's your plan? What's your heart? And what's going to happen too is that God's going to tell you stuff that he's going to tell other people. So that keeps us humble. Because God wants to do something in our midst. He wants to do something corporately, but he might want to do something individually. And so the corporate stuff, he might share it with a few people because we're a body. And so let's work together collaboratively on the things that we need to work together with. God to share something with you about the church and go and share that with some of the leadership and say, hey, it's what God's, you know, I mean, we love that stuff, you know. Because you know what? If God's in it, God will resource it. And what I've learned, you know, in the things that I've been involved in, it's really hard. It's really hard trying to mobilize and resource visions that aren't from God. But the ones that are from God, it's like the pressure's off. Because he's already seen it. He's already resourced it. He's already doing it. And he just wants you to participate in it. I'm going to invite the band up. Let's all stand. I love the story of Caleb in the Bible. If you read, Caleb was one of the guys who went into the promised land and actually saw what everyone else didn't see. He was the guy that saw opportunity when everyone else saw obstacles. He was the guy that said, what do you see? And he said, yeah, let's do it. We can go. God's leading us. God's in this. Let's go. But I love if you go on in the story a little bit. 40 years later, in Numbers 14, you read this. Actually, it's in Joshua. Joshua 14, it says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back the report according to my convictions. So this is 40 years later, he's saying they're coming to him and they're just about to walk in and they're handing out their inheritances. And it's opportunity for Caleb to grab his inheritance. And he says this, he says, he's reflecting back on what happened and he says, I brought him back a report according to my convictions, what God was doing in my heart at that time. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the heart, But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. However, I followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. 40 years later, it hadn't happened yet. And he's standing there going, you know what? He says, I followed my convictions and I followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And I walked into what God promised me. I can't wait 40 minutes, generally, for a promise to come true. But God's wanting us to walk into His promise for your life. He's wanting you to sit down with Him and for you to receive His promise for your family, for your life, for your church, for your friends. He wants you to sit down and receive that promise and He wants you to follow that promise wholeheartedly for as long as it takes. He wants you to press on. He doesn't want you to focus on the past. He wants you to press on. And I just want to release you tonight. I just want to say, go dream. But I want you to say, hey, follow God wholeheartedly. Don't give up at the first post. There are some people here today who know that they've had dreams in their hearts and things on their life and, you know, small things and large things, and you've given up on those things for different reasons. Maybe it's been the criticism of others. Maybe you didn't feel like you had the support around you. Maybe you just felt discouraged at different points. But I just want you to just think about the fact that God still has a promise for you. Just because your experience says it doesn't happen doesn't mean that God's promise has been in some way taken away. So I just want everyone here tonight just to close your eyes and bow your head. And I just want to pray specifically for some people, because I want to, if anyone feels like you've been disqualified, I just want to put you back in the race. I just want to say to you, hey, let's get back in the game again. Let's start again. Let's believe God for His promise. Let's position ourselves for His purpose. And maybe you've never had that experience, but you want it. You want God to speak to you. You want you to hear His heart. You want that prophetic vision, that prophetic word from Him. If that's you, I want you to respond tonight. But I just want you to do it by doing one thing. I'm not going to invite you to come up the front, because God, I believe the power of God is in this place and He can just touch you right where you are. But as your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed, if that's you, you've been discouraged and you feel like you've been disqualified and somehow you don't feel like you've got the momentum or the encouragement to do what God's put on your life, I just want you to put your hand up and say, pray for me tonight. Pray for me that I can just start to do what God's called me to do again and afresh. So here, put it right up. Let's be honest. Let's have our convictions today. Maybe you're a person who doesn't feel like you've had a vision or a dream, but you really want one. You really want to have that time with God, and you are going to commit yourself to spending time with Jesus this week to ask Him what is on His heart. If that's you, I want you to put your hand up too, because I want to pray for that time that you're going to spend with Jesus this week. I want to pray that God speaks to you. I want to pray that you hear His voice, that you actually receive the promise that He has for you. If that's you, I just want you to put your hand up and say, Brooke, I'm ready to receive what God's got for me this week. If that's you, just put your hand up. Jesus, I thank You that You're here, and I thank You that You love every one of us, that You invite us into some amazing kingdom activity. Thank You that Your promises can never be taken away. And I pray tonight that we would receive Your promise, that we would receive Your dream, that we would see our community in the way You see them, that we'd see our friends the way You see them, we'd see our family in the way You see them. Pour out Your Spirit on all flesh tonight. I pray, God, for those of us who feel discouraged, disqualified, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that You will cut off the things of the past and that You would reinstate their souls in order for them to run into the future in Jesus' name. I thank You that You're good. Thank You that You're so good, God, and that You love us and we're Your kids and You just want to see us play in this thing called the kingdom of God. And You want to release it. It's not a burdensome thing, God. You just want to invite us into your plans and purposes, and I pray that we would avail ourselves to that. In Jesus' name, amen.